And Adam Silvera is also Puerto Rican. And so anytime someone's Puerto Rican, I'm like, hey, are we like, kind of related? Or are we best friends? Like, just so you know, I love you.
Hello, lovely listeners and book lovers. Welcome to another episode of the Try Reading Podcast. I'm so excited to be recording yet another amazing episode with yet another iconic guest. Without further ado, please welcome debut author Alba Luce. How are you doing, Alba?
I'm good. Thank you. That's so funny. I feel like after I heard that, there should be like applause.
And
like,
I know. Ugh. We need like a couple thousand people. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, here, I'll do it for you. And then...
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Of course. I'm so excited as well. And I'm so excited to have you here today. And for anyone listening who isn't familiar with Alba, get out from under that rock, babes. Alba Luce is a Puerto Rican author and a lover of stories, whether in the form of anime, manga, video games, and of course, books. Speaking of books, she should be writing her own. Instead, you'll probably find her replaying Final Fantasy, listening to classical music, or cuddling up with her adorable pit bull, Stormy, who, may I just say, is the cutest ever. So would be cuddling with that dog all day as well.
Thank you. I feel like I birthed her. She's everything to me.
Of course. Yeah. I have two dogs. They're children.
What kind of dogs do you have?
They're like a mix. We're not totally sure, but one is like a dachshund chihuahua type terrier mix, like Jack Russell Terrier something. And then the other, she's like a schnauzer type mix.
Oh my God, so cute.
Yeah, thank you. But they are like your, you know, blood related children. That's how.
Truly. I would kill for her.
Exactly.
I would die for her. Anything for her.
Absolutely. Well, Alba is also the author of Build a Girlfriend, which is reverse How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and it's releasing in fall 2024 through Simon & Schuster. And she has two other books set to release, a second untitled book with Simon & Schuster in fall 2025, and Last Hellos and First Goodbyes set to release through Disney Hyperion in spring 2025. And I couldn't be more excited for all of these. However, I'm especially glad to have you here today to talk about you, your debut, and your dog. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Of course. I always start the podcast by asking, what are you currently reading?
I'm actually rereading a book that I've already read because I'm still editing. I'm in my final edits for Build a Girlfriend right now. And I love the Borrow Boyfriend Club. I think they hit, like, the book itself hits similar beats that Build a Girlfriend does, and it's the same genre, and Paige's voice is so funny. And so I'm actually rereading that. I typically tend to do that when I'm editing. I try and get a book that's similar and read it at the same time, and it really helps me make sure like my pacing's good, and I can compare myself to be like, oh, they're definitely funnier than me, or they're definitely like, you know, they're doing this better than me. And so I can kind of just make sure that I'm, you know, I'm keeping up.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love that idea. And I love the Borrow Boyfriend Club. It's so fun. And the humor and the heart is so strong. And yeah, but that is such a cool idea to have that sort of like to keep you on track in a way. Well, I am currently listening to Stars in Your Eyes by Kaysen Callender. I love Kaysen's writing. Kaysen was on the podcast. They are awesome. And it's their first adult romance, and it's a, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like a celebrity Hollywood romance. It's fake dating, but I highly recommend listening to the audiobook. I was scrolling on BookTok and someone was talking about the audiobook and was saying how it's like a production, like it's full on like sound effects and everything, and I was like, okay, so maybe. And it's wild, like there's because the book itself has multimedia, like video transcripts or articles, or there's like AO3 fan fiction, all these different things. And when they have these multimedia aspects, they put in like background sounds. So they have tons of different voice actors, but then they also have like typing on a computer, or like if it's a video, they have like background noise, like it's like cars or a city street. Or there's like music if it's, there's like a memoir being read in some parts of the book. So it's very immersive along with all the different voice actors. So it's really cool. And I wasn't sure whether it was going to be too much like with the story, but no, it kind of like fits very well. And it immerses you into the story. So it's really good.
That's so interesting. I'll definitely take a listen. I usually try and listen and read at the same time to keep my focus. I think, did you say Kate? Who was the author? Was it the author of Felix Ever After? Oh, I love that book so much. Okay, I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, they are so awesome. And yeah, I was pretty much used to just their YA and a couple of middle grade. So it's exciting to see this, different style in the same, romance genre. But yeah, it's really good and I highly recommend it. I typically will have like podcast guest shout outs from previous guests, like their releases. There's none today, but I do have for the listeners a sort of like, yeah, a sort of try reading podcast giveaway. And I'm gonna, never done this, so I'm gonna try to make it make sense as easy as possible. But
Okay.
so I have a final copy of Skater Boy by Anthony Narada that I'll be giving away,
I
which the absolute best. And it's such a good story. So for anyone who doesn't know, it's a wonderful coming of age queer story. It's there's romance, there's amazing themes of friendship and finding yourself and seeing how you fit into the world, but not like, stepping outside of the labels that others might have put on you. And it's just really, really amazing. And so for anyone who's listening, you can to enter, there's just one copy, but you can DM the Try Reading Podcast Instagram account, which is just Try Reading Podcast, all one word. And you can DM me either your favorite episode so far, if you're a longtime listener, or if this is your first episode, you can DM me like a book release that's coming out this year that you're very excited for. And then whoever responds first, it's just first come, first serve. I will let you know if you've won, and then I'll post it on the Instagram story and I will send that to you. But it's a really great story if you want to read a really wonderful, just really well written story, but also just a book by a really awesome and amazing person. I highly recommend reading it. And yeah, so that's a, we'll see how this works. And yeah, but even if you don't win, I highly recommend reading Skater Boy. It's so good.
I co-sign that. Anthony, a star, in love with him. He's everything to me. Also would die for him, and Skater Boy is amazing. So everyone should enter, and then everyone should just buy it and make Anthony a best-selling author and
Right.
give him $5 million. That's my opinion.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I mean, it was just named Indie Kids Next Pick for April and no, March and April. So absolutely, like this month.
a star.
Yeah, exactly. Well, without further ado, I will start getting into the questions I have for you. And my first question, as it is always the first question I start with, when did you discover your love for books and reading?
My love for books really came unwillingly. So when I was in sixth grade, I flunked sixth grade. I don't know why I thought I could get away with it. My mom was a teacher, and so I don't know why I thought I could be like super sly and like not do my work. But she ended up taking everything from me. Like, I couldn't watch TV, I couldn't watch movies, I couldn't play video games. Devastating.
Right.
I couldn't even like go outside and play like with my siblings. Like my mom does not play, and I should have known better. I couldn't even listen to music. I would have to sit around and like listen to my own thoughts, and who wants to do that?
Right.
It was just so funny. I would just wander around like with nothing to do. And then I remember one day in my boredom, I had walked to the basement and my parents just kept a bunch of like knickknacks and like old photo albums and like forgotten dreams. Like it was hopeless down there. But I remember seeing a pile of books, and the first book was like some like biography, and I was like boring. But then I saw The Lightning Thief, and the cover was so cool. I read the summary, and I mean, I had literally nothing else to do.
Right.
So I read it, and I remember that night I like kind of looked around and it was dark, and I had finished the book in a sitting, and I sometimes have trouble focusing on things like if I'm not interested. And so I was like, wow, like this really held me for so long. And so I went to my mom and I was like, Mom, Maria, this is educational, this is a book, can I keep reading? Like, is this allowed? Like, is this media that I can take? And she was like, yeah, allowed. And I was like, phenomenal. And then I went to my dad, who was the parent with the money, and it would be like our weekly treat. Like I would go with my dad, and he would like let me pick out a book, and it was like a whole new world, like bookstores and like all these like covers. And I know libraries existed, but the libraries I knew were like in school, and like again, I flunked sixth grade, so I wasn't like frequenting like the libraries. And so like having that experience, having nothing else to do, kind of like helped me find the love for reading. And luckily for my mother, it stuck. So thanks,
Right.
Maria. I'm still
Exactly.
mad about it. The music was too far, I feel, but
Right.
what can you do?
I was just gonna say, yeah, thank you to Maria for that. 'Cause I
Oh,
mean,
Maria.
hello, we wouldn't be here talking today, maybe. So, but I
No.
mean, yeah, or even, and you may not have, even if you would have found your love for reading later on, maybe you wouldn't have found it in that specific period of time. And
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, yeah, no music that. No video games, no playing outside like that feel. So it's like, of course, you know, if you're like, you know, what do I have to lose with books?
Yeah. I had
Yeah.
literally nothing else.
Right. But now here you are publishing your own stories and putting books out into the world. And so obviously, like you just shared, you didn't always have that love for reading from the very beginning. But once you did find this love for reading, did you know you wanted to be an author, or did that come later on?
I think it came a little bit later on because, like, my first love has always been video games, and I think I've always been a lover of stories, but in different media forms. And like a video game is like a story that you play through. So I knew I wanted to do something like that. I think for a while, because I didn't know the field, I thought like I can go into like game development. But eventually my love for reading grew. Also, being a video game developer felt a little hard to do. And so becoming an author just felt more attainable. But I would love to like use my writing skills and become like a writer for video games one day. I don't know who's listening, but like that is my dream. Because that's like before like we even started this, we were talking about like Final Fantasy, like that series, it's like every other year they come out with like a new one, and like that I would love to like write for that. But not to be a sellout, but like I like being an author. It's easier for me. And I think, you know, as a career, it's just felt more realistic to get into this field. Not that I don't have like the passion and the love for it, but you do need money to pursue passions. So I think being an author just was all around a better fit for me.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you shared, your day job is in publishing, and so you still have
Yeah.
other aspects that you're connected to it. And hey, yeah, manifest writing for video games, especially Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, right. If anyone's listening, or just speak it out into the universe. And yeah, because that totally could happen. But also, it does make sense having that sort of like love for just storytelling in general in any form of media, and finding a way to, you know, sort of put that love out into the world. And hey, you could start with books and end up in video games as well. So who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you'll see me like as a
Right.
writer on a video game. You're like Elba, like
Exactly.
yeah, that's
Right.
me.
Exactly. I knew her way back when. Yeah. Well, knowing that Build a Girlfriend has LGBTQIA plus themes and BIPOC characters, can you remember the first book you read that had LGBTQI plus themes and or BIPOC representation?
I'm sure that I read some that had like maybe some relationships that were, but the one that I remember the most, I don't know if you read it. It's called More Happy Than Not by Adam
Oh, yeah.
Savera. It was a while ago, but I remember that book stood out to me so much. I had so many emotions reading it. And for people who haven't read it, it's basically about this teenager, and he's thinking about going through a procedure to make him not gay. And like I grew up in a slightly like religious environment, and so you don't even speak about sexuality. Like it's just not allowed. And so it was one of the first books that had like not a side character, but a protagonist that was queer. And then I really was reading it, and I was thinking like, like is this okay? Like is this allowed? Which is ironic because like that is the main character Aaron's like journey, like is figuring out is like, is it okay to be gay? And like spoiler, like it absolutely always is. But yeah, it was the first one that really I think resonated with me. And Adam Silver is also Puerto Rican, and so anytime someone's Puerto Rican, I'm like, hey, are we like
Right.
kind of related, or are we best friends? Like, just so you know, I love you.
Exactly. Well, so I'm starting to put two and two together and think we might be related because the first book I read that had BIPOC and queer representation was an Adam Silvera book. It was What If It's Us, and I'm also Puerto Rican. So I was like, hey.
We're cousins,
Right,
just so you know.
exactly.
You can claim me anytime. We're cousins.
Absolutely. Will do. Yeah, no, I love him. He's great and I love his stories. And so that's so awesome that you had that both queer representation and Puerto Rican representation in a book. And yeah, it's yeah, and just that one little like, oh wow, maybe it is okay, had that same realization, and now it's like open you up to this world of writing and reading and books of with so much representation. So that's so great, and what a fabulous book to sort of kickstart that new path. Yeah. Well, when you sat down to write a book and with the goal to publish, was YA contemporary the first genre that came to mind?
It actually wasn't. I used to write fantasy only. And I know some authors find making contemporary compelling difficult, and some find world building in fantasy difficult. And it took me a while to realize that fantasy was something that I probably wasn't the best at. I'm very realistic and I'm super competitive, even with myself. And so if something isn't working, I'm flexible, I will change. And so when I couldn't get an agent with a fantasy book and I queried for years, like I reflected and I was like, that's a good indicator, like something's not working. And eventually I just tried writing different genres. And when I wrote contemporary, it just felt like a better fit. Like the words kind of just came a little bit easier. I think like my humor just fit a contemporary book better. And it just all around was a better fit. And so, yeah, I think this genre came to me like last, but maybe I had to like fail all those times for like, I don't know, my character development to realize that this was my best fit rather than something else.
Yeah, and like having different trial and error and seeing what works and doesn't work, and it's all part of this path and this journey for you, and but yeah, and it's they are contemporary and fantasy are very different, or why contemporary and fantasy, and there's and with like you said, with you being more of a realistic person, it makes sense that you would sort of for you to write contemporary, it'd sort of feel maybe a bit different and to have this difference, or it might come with more ease. But yeah, and now here you are with your contemporary novels on the way this year and next year. And
Yeah, three for
it's
three.
exactly, I'm so excited. And I mean, for someone who is Puerto Rican, it wasn't like I had and still don't have like as much as there could be Puerto Rican
Yeah.
representation. So that's why people like Adam Silvera and Emery Lee for YA contemporary are really special. But then I heard about Build a Girlfriend maybe like a year and a half ago now, or like a year ago, and I was like, oh boy, here we go, like this is me, this is my people.
Oh my God,
And
thanks.
of course, and I'm so excited. And so, if you don't mind sharing with the listeners, your like elevator pitch or however you want to share what Build a Girlfriend is about.
I think it's just the basic, like, if you want like a one sentence, it's about like this messy teenager who can't get a partner and goes through this kind of ex retrospective, trying to figure out what's wrong with her, if there's something wrong with her, to become the perfect girlfriend.
Well, that is a great pitch, and it sounds so exciting and fun, and I can't wait. And so I do have to ask, what was the inspiration or spark to write this story?
The inspiration was pretty funny. It was just this specific article that I saw on Twitter once, and it was J-Lo getting back with Ben Affleck. And I remember telling my best friend, like, oh, like this is so interesting because, like, for a lot of us, like going back to your ex is blasphemy. Like, and I'm guilty of it. And my friends, like, wanted to throttle me. And so the more I thought about it, the more I realized that going back to your ex requires a kind of bravery too. Not if your ex like sucked. If they sucked, like anyone listening, you can tell me and I will set them on fire allegedly. Like wink wink, I will. Like don't, this doesn't apply if your ex was horrible. But like if it ended kind of like just like good on both ends, knowing someone who probably knows all your flaws and have seen you at your worst already, there is a kind of bravery in trying to give that a second chance. And so I kept really thinking about it. And then the more I thought about it, the more I wanted to explore it. And I think that's like a curse of a writer is that you try and find stories in literally everything. So I never know a moment of peace, but this one was a good one. And so again, J-Lo Puerto Rican, that's my titi. So like, thank you,
Yeah.
J-Lo, because now I have a book.
That's amazing. Right. Yeah.
So
I'd like to thank J-Lo and the Academy and right.
thanks.
Absolutely. And I love that. And I love that it was just this very like, happened to pop up of like, oh, look, here's this headline. And it is a very cool theme and something to, write about. And because it does, it happens often. And especially like you said, if it is, it wasn't ending on negative terms, but it's this sort of like second, obviously second chance romances are, very popular. But it's this different type of second chance in a way, because especially with teens, because it's, just like there's still so much that teens are learning about as they get older and discovering about themselves and, how they work with other people. And so, yeah, I really can't wait to read it, and I'm so excited. And
Thanks so
yeah,
much.
of course. And
I'll send you a copy. You don't even got to worry about
oh no, I'm already like pre-ordering, requesting at my library, like
Thank
everything.
you, but
And
I'm still gonna send you a copy.
I, yeah,
We're
it's
cousins, don't forget.
right,
We're
of course. Yeah,
cousins.
actually, yeah,
Hello,
that's right.
hello, yeah.
Right. And of course, like, you have to find a way to get J-Lo a copy. So
Absolutely. I don't know how that's going to happen, but again, it will. So, another
yeah,
manifestation for this
right,
podcast.
exactly.
Final Fantasy and
Right.
J-Lo.
We're just making a list here. Yeah. Well, when you were writing the first draft, were you more of a plotter or a pantser?
I for it like annoys everyone like who has to work with me, but I'm a pantser. My brain isn't so organized. So my writing isn't. And so I write as I go. My ideas change as I'm writing. But I know this about myself. So what I do to help myself is that I create a short query or a summary of whatever book idea I have. And if I can't write a compelling summary or even a two-sentence pitch that sounds commercial enough, interesting enough, or feels like the stakes are good enough, I'll scrap the idea completely. So that way, because I'm a pantser, I'm not gonna waste my time writing it if I know it probably won't work out. And I'm really disciplined with that because I think before I did that, I would just spend so much time writing books that didn't work. And I think just writing big ideas in small form just helps me see like the greater layout of a book and if it's really gonna work. And so that's what I do to help offset that I am a pantser because I've tried plotting. I don't know how people do it. People are phenomenal to like chapter by chapter, not me, not me. I'm gonna do whatever I want when I sit down.
Absolutely. And that makes so much sense. And I mean, it works for you. And it's like, and clearly you've sold three books so far with it. And it's like, hey, I mean,
Something's good about
why?
this.
Right. And why fix something that isn't broken? So, I mean,
So true. So true, cousin.
and yeah. And I mean, I totally get that. And I feel like, I am someone who aspires to publish books and write, and I feel like that sort of idea of like pantsing it and plotting it, like it depends for me. So I totally understand, like just sort of word vomiting and like something comes up and you're like, oh wait, that's really cool, let me add that.
Yeah.
And also like it kind of fits the vibe, because like teenagers are so chaotic, and so like you're writing
I love
the
this.
story
Thank you so
perfectly.
much.
Right, no, I'm
I'm
over
gonna
here
use this
validating
argument Every time.
You're like, hey, this is method acting. This is like method acting. This is like,
Hello.
I'm just becoming
I'm
my
a boost.
characters. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I totally get that. And it's just part of your process. And yeah. Well, also while writing this book, and you sort of brought up something like this when you were talking about currently reading The Borrowed Boyfriend Club while editing, during the drafting process or revision, whenever you were writing it, did you turn to any other contemporary media like books, movies, music, TV shows, games, whatever, to find inspiration or motivation?
For sure. The Borrowed Boyfriend Club. I also reread She Gets the Girl for this, as like mentee books. And I also, my priorities aren't really in order, but for most of my books, something that I need to be sure of is that they're funny. Like, they are not comedic gold or anything, but I like banter. I like funny one-liners. I like to be a clown. And so I watch a lot of New Girl. I don't know if you ever
Oh,
watched
yeah.
it. Yeah, literally, they have the best like one-liners. They're so funny and clever, which is everything that I want to be. So I definitely inhaled New Girl to make sure like my banter was not just like authentic but funny, because again, my priorities not the best. I just want to be funny. And then I also watch a lot of Schitt's Creek for the family kind of like dynamic at the end, where they kind of have like this really amazing bond, but they also just like roast each other nonstop, and like I love their banter too. So I definitely probably only watch those shows. I just didn't want to have anything else in my brain, especially because again, my focus, so I need to like kind of be zeroed in on what I'm doing. And so yeah, New Girl, Schitt's Creek, and Borrowed Boyfriend Club, and She Gets the Girl for this.
I love that. Those are all such great answers. And I mean, hey, if there are no Schitt's Creek fans, I'm dead. And that is my show for life. I
Truly,
yeah.
it's
And
just like a masterpiece. I would
yeah.
love to shake their hands. Is
Oh
it
my God.
Dan Levy,
Yeah.
then Dave? Is that their names, the creators? They're in the show, right?
Yeah, Eugene and Dan.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah.
right. They're just geniuses. I love them. I would another set of people that I would die for.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. And Catherine O'Hara, I would lay down my life. Like,
Yeah,
girl,
no.
don't even ask. Yeah.
Every single cast member is phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, every time we go through a question, I'm like, we really are
Right.
related.
Wow. Do we have the same life? Like,
Listen, I'm gonna go talk to my mom. You
right?
didn't tell me some things.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I love Schitt's Creek. There's so many episodes where I've talked with guests about it. There was an episode where like content creator Zoran, we recited different lines from our favorite episodes, and like it was
I love that. I want to go
it's
on that next time. Let me know when you're doing
right, absolutely. No, we will schedule another episode and it will just be our favorite
it.
lines from Schitt's Creek. I have finally got my mom hooked on it because I've been watching it for years, and like
I love
she would
that.
see like clips, or like when she would walk in the room and I'd be watching it and I'd be like, oh, you need to see this. But like now she's like actually hooked, and it's so good. And like, of course, for someone who wants to have comedic moments in their book and comedy and humor, obviously, like there's no other answer.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. So honestly, we could just talk about Schitt's Creek all day.
No, truly. Let's schedule another episode and it'll
Right.
be 3 hours of us talking about Schitt's
Absolutely, I'm down.
Creek.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I love the aspect of wanting to have humor because you need that, and I mean, it's so fun to read it, and I please, you're, I mean, I need a funny main character. I like even it doesn't have to be
Absolutely.
consistently, but like funny lines or funny moments, like, yeah, and especially in like YA contemporary and with romance and rom-coms, like, yeah, it's just like all the right notes. So, yeah, well. What is something you've learned on this publishing journey that you didn't know before starting?
I feel like I'm always learning as this process goes by. I think one thing that I've learned is that you're gonna get like one or the other. Either everything is gonna move slow as hell or fast, and like you never will know which one you're getting. So you can be on submission trying to sell your book for a week and then it sells, and then you're waiting months or years for like a contract, and then your book won't even come out until 2 years. Some people will be on submission for like 2 years and get nothing and then sell. And then everything moves really quickly. Sometimes, unfortunately, and this has happened to me, you die on submission. You can be there for years and then you just die there and your book doesn't sell and you just never know which one you're gonna get. So I've learned that there's no rhythm and I can't measure publishing whatsoever. And I don't know why someone, me, with so much anxiety decided like this was the career path that I wanted. But here I am in the consequences of my own actions and decisions.
Right, like guys, let's stress myself out for fun. Like
No,
that,
yeah. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea, but
right? It's this like wild mythical creature publishing, like, and from the stories that I've heard from other people, like you're so right. Like you can never know what path. It's like a multiple choice, like pick your path, but you can't pick your path.
truly.
You just get tossed out into whatever journey works for you. And it is really wild to hear like all of these different stories about, like, you know, people it taking, like, even I talked on the last episode with the debut author Wenyi Li, and her book is The Dark We Know. And she was talking about how she queried a first book for almost like 6 months, maybe, and it wasn't getting much. And then she had had this idea for another one and was like, okay, why don't I also put this one out and see what happens? And the second one was like a couple of months at most. And she was like, what happened? Like, wow. So having this knowledge of like knowing how varied it can be is wild. And so it's a great takeaway from something you've learned, but also great advice for anyone who's interested, like that sort of like just be prepared to not know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it does bring comfort, especially to like people who are like on sub or trying to get an agent, because like truly, I think we all fall victim of like comparing ourselves to other people and their experiences. But in publishing, you absolutely cannot do that because it's not measurable. You will never have the same experience, the same timeline as anyone else because it just works differently for everyone, and that is so frustrating. I understand it. I can't change it. I'm sorry, y'all.
Yeah, it is wild, and but that's a great takeaway, and it's some great wisdom and knowledge that you can now share and pass on to others. What was most important for you when writing Amelia's story?
For me, and for Amelia specifically, who I love so much, it was making sure that Amelia is going to be okay at the end. So, like, whatever choices she makes, whatever she goes through, all her up and downs, she's gonna have a happy ending no matter what. Like, that's a guarantee. I think the world is and can be really bleak, and sometimes you read things that are like that, and that's cool, and sometimes we have to. But me personally, with my career and my writing, I just want to add a little happy to the book world, even if I can make someone laugh for like one line and they hate the book and just one time, like I made them laugh and it's funny. Like, to me, that's worth it. So, I just want Amelia to be happy at the end of the book, no matter what, because I want everyone to kind of feel like they can be happy. And, like, maybe that's not realistic to some people, but like, I believe that it's true. And I want Amelia to be okay. And I want so many people to be okay.
Period. Honestly, like that's a great reason for just wanting, you know, in this like important aspect of your story. And I mean, it is very true. And I think, you know, a lot of people, like you said, people often they can read bleak things, or if it's, you know, something nonfiction or fiction, whether it is
Yeah,
bleak.
absolutely.
But if you are reading for this sense of escapism, which a lot of people are when it comes to fiction, no matter what genre, having that happiness is really great because sometimes you're
Yeah.
like, I don't want to think about my life. Let me focus on Amelia's, or, and
Exactly.
yeah. So that's a really great, important aspect. And I love that that stayed strong with you throughout writing this story. Well, what are you most excited for when Build a Girlfriend releases?
My answer is super simple and boring, but all I can think of is that I'm excited for someone to willingly read it. Like on their part, like choosing it and being like, this sounds really cool. Like I want to read it. Mostly because when I first started writing, I didn't really have anyone who read it. So like my family just wasn't into reading. And like for some, it was a language barrier. Like they just didn't speak the language and I wrote in English. And my friends at the time, I have great friends now, but at the time, they would never read my stuff, or they say they would, and they never did. And so, like, it's always been a solitary experience for me, which is always so funny to me with this career, is that you're writing by yourself, but you're writing for other people. And so I think that I'll just be happy to share that with others. And I just genuinely would like to know how it feels to have someone who has no connection to me whatsoever just pick up my book, and like whether they love it or they hate it, like I'm just grateful that they took a chance on it and they just read something that I wrote.
Absolutely. I love that answer. And yeah, I already know there's going to be so many readers that are going to be excited to pick it up or yeah, see it at their bookstore or at their library. And yeah, and it's going to be such a great story and an important story for readers too, for representation, whether it's Puerto Rican readers or it's LGBTQIA plus
Puerto
readers.
Rican
And
readers, all of our
yes, right,
cousins.
exactly. Right. Yeah, but I love that. And I mean, also, there's so much exciting aspects of this publishing journey for your debut yet to come. Like, obviously, the release, and like, I know the cover hasn't been revealed yet. So, like, that's a big, exciting moment. And just, yeah, as you're gearing up towards it, it's there's so much exciting that I'm excited to witness as a bystander. So,
Thank
yeah,
you.
of course. Well, if you could turn Build a Girlfriend into anything other than a movie or a TV show, what would that be?
I think this is totally obvious because I've been nerding out this whole time, but
Wait,
I think that Build a Girlfriend would be such a cute video game, like a
you like
dating.
video games? No.
I didn't tell you. Oh, I'm just sometimes I'm super shy about it. But like, wouldn't that be so cute? Like a dating sim, and like the levels are exes that are harder to impress. And like ultimately, like you'll lead yourself to like your one true love, like a little dating sim. I think
Yeah,
that'd be so cool.
I love that. That is so fun. And yeah, it's, I mean, also, you were talking about writing for video games. So it's like, here's a book, here's a story. Anybody, like,
Just cracked the code. Maybe this was
right?
like something I sneakily did.
Right, exactly. Guys, I figured it out. That was your plan all along. Like, yeah. Yeah, take credit for it. Just yeah. And but I love that. That would be so much fun. And yeah, and then you could also see like the characters in your story brought to life through an art form. And
I'm gonna have
yeah.
to pursue this further. I don't know
Right.
how, and I don't have the resources, but I'm gonna try.
I'll be your PR team.
Thank
I'll vouch for it. Yeah, no, exactly.
you.
I love that idea. That would be so much fun. And yeah, it's always fun to hear other people's answers because when obviously, of course, the dream is a movie or a TV show, I know, but this allows you to think outside of the box and add something new. And yeah, so hey, who knows? 2026 Build a Girlfriend video game. I don't know. PS5, Nintendo.
PS5 specifically, absolutely, that's what I
Yeah,
want.
exactly. Well, what would be your advice to any aspiring authors, and specifically ones who are writing stories with LGBTQI plus characters or BIPOC characters or themes?
I think truly, and I mean this, is just to be kind to yourself. I think things are better, but it's still hard. And so, like, when you're seeing people getting published, and like your writing is good, you're doing everything that you possibly can, you're doing it the right way, but the same kind of books keep hitting the list and keep getting sold, and you're not, like, you have to know it's not you. Like, the system, unfortunately, it is rigged against you, and it sucks and it's crappy. But I hope knowing that you can just be a little bit easier on yourself, because the spiraling can really affect your mental health. And like, I have gone through like hopeless points of like my career, and just like the only possible thing that has ever helped me is like stepping back and just really treating myself kindly, and like not comparing myself to others, and like drinking some water, and like really like nourishing myself. Because when you're so sad, especially about like your career, you forget to take care of yourself. You forget to do the most basic tasks, and it just further worsens like your mental health. And so like writing doesn't even feel fun anymore, and writing doesn't have any passion anymore. And so I think just really taking the time to take care of yourself, be kind to yourself, and just finding a support system will just work wonders.
I love that. That is such a great answer and such great advice. Thank you for sharing that.
No, thank you.
Well, what would your advice be to your younger self?
Honestly, my real answer, invest in Google or something. I hate working. I hate having to work for a living. If I could just get money for free, I think we all should get money for free and like live happily. And I wish I could tell little Elba like to invest in like Google or something that I knew that I was gonna spike up. A more philosophical answer is like, don't give up. So like we can also say that, like if you need like
That's
a backup.
boring. Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, I don't want anyone to give up, but I do think, like, I would never think about giving up if I was rich. And had I invested, I would be rich by now. So, like, there's
I love that. That is
my
so
two answers.
awesome. And yeah, I mean, or even like stuff like I know everybody's talking about like, and still, and I know in the beginning it was like, oh, well, if I had invested in Zoom right before the pandemic hit, I would have been rich and famous.
No, truly. You see, I think we gotta, you know what? It's not too late for us. Let's
Right.
keep, let's look, let's compile some ideas and let's just invest a little bit.
Right. I will invest in like PS5 somehow, and then you create that amazing video game for Build Your
Wow.
Girlfriend, and then I'll share the money with you, and then great.
I
We're
love this so much.
successful.
Great deal. Contract right here, signed
Absolutely.
immediately.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if there was a way to invest in Schitt's Creek, that would have been amazing too. Like, I would have made millions.
Gosh, we really did wrong things.
Right. Well, I love that. And yeah, I mean, of course, like you said, don't give up. But like, we want
Yeah,
the more
don't give
fun.
up. Like
Yeah.
if you didn't invest, don't give up. But if you have the chance, do it.
Right. Yeah. If any, like, you know, sixth graders right now are listening. Actually, like, stop. Don't read Percy Jackson. Go invest in Google and then read Percy Jackson in your free time.
No, so true. If only sixth grader Elba just knew how big Google was gonna get, like her life would be so different right now.
Right. Hey, Maria, can I just use the computer for like 5 minutes, invest, and then I'll still be grounded? It's fine. Like, just.
Gosh, so devastating.
Well, to get readers even more excited, I mean, if they're not already, then they should stop listening because, like, you should be excited by now. But to get readers even more excited for Build a Girlfriend, could you describe it in 3 words?
Yes. Also, I asked my best friend like to describe Bag in 3 words
Oh,
and she
yeah.
couldn't. So, can I actually share what she said? Because it was so cute. It's not three
Yeah,
words. Then I'll
of
give you my
course.
3 words.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Please do.
She said, Build a Girlfriend is like that quintessential teen rom-com that feels like cotton candy colored skies and drive-in movies and lip gloss and that radio station that only plays old pop songs and occasionally like one country song. Is that not the cutest?
That's
A star.
amazing. That's
No, it was so
put that
good.
on the
I was like,
cover.
that's not three words, but like amazing.
Right.
If I had to say three words, it would just be funny, heartwarming, and messy, but it doesn't hit like her description did, does it?
I love those 3 words, but I also love the sentence she shared. Like, I mean, you totally, that's going on the back of the book. Like,
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely. I'll handwrite it on each one if I
right.
have to.
Right. When you're signing them, you'll be like, okay, actually, do you
One
have room?
second,
Yeah.
actually 2 minutes.
Right. Absolutely. And I love your answers too, though. Those are such great words. And yeah, it makes me even more excited. I hope it makes the listeners even more excited. That sentence hooked me even more. Wow. And I thought I couldn't get
Wow.
any more excited.
I gotta tell her, I was like, wow, you're a star. I hope you know that.
Right, exactly.
Actually, this might be too much for her ego, so I don't know. Let me
Actually, let's
cut
cut that out.
it
Yeah.
out. Yeah, take it
Right, cut it out. No, it's okay.
off.
Well, that was a fabulous answer, and I love that so much. And I absolutely loved all of your stories. And I want to thank the iconic, magical, inspirational, talented Elba Luce for joining me today. I had the best time talking with you, and it was just so much fun. Thank you for joining me on the podcast.
No, thank you so much. I'm just so excited that I met my cousin that I didn't know I had. So
I
I'm just so
know.
grateful that we had this opportunity.
Guys, you're witnessing like a family reunion. You have no idea how special. This
Yeah.
is like You should have paid money to see. Like, this
Yeah.
is rare. Like,
Just wait until we find our 50th J-Lo. Like, just
right.
wait.
Honestly, yeah.
Family reunion.
The possibilities are endless. This, yeah. You don't know how far this family tree goes. Adam Silvera is like our uncle. Who knows?
Yeah, honestly. We're pretty important people, so.
Right. I know. Yeah. Well, I had the best time talking with you, and I'm so glad
Me
you had
too.
fun. And where can the listeners find you?
You can find me at anything, any media, and it's Elba with an L in the middle because someone took my name. So Elba L Loose, and that's my username for everything. And also ElbaLoose.com if you're really interested.
Absolutely. Yes, you should all go follow Elba on social media and check out her website. And I mean, if you're not following her already, then what are you doing? But I mean, just learn more about this amazing icon. So, and hey, support my cousin. So, I mean,
Yeah, come
right,
on.
guys, this is family. Like, come on. So, well, do you have anything upcoming or current that you want to shout out or promote?
I can I shout out something that a book that I'm looking forward to, two of
Yeah,
them.
of course.
One is A Love Like the Sun by Riss Nielsen. It's an adult romance, and Riss is the loveliest human, and she has two YAs already out, which are phenomenal. And then also a ban me for two. I hope I pronounced that right. It's very Spanish of me to say like ban closer to pan because that's bread
Yeah.
for us. But that's by Trinity Nugent, and I'm really excited for that. Both coming out 2024, so I think everyone should get those too. Get Build a Girlfriend, also get those.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Those are both two great releases, and yeah, but also Build a Girlfriend, of course. So three great releases that should be on your radars. And thank you everyone for listening to today's episode of Try Reading. Don't forget to subscribe or follow the podcast. And if you'd like, you can write a review or rate the show. You can follow Try Reading on Instagram and Threads at Try Reading Podcast. You can find this show wherever you get your podcasts, and you can listen to new episodes every other Friday. As always, you can buy books by the Try Reading authors through the bookshop.org link in the Try Reading link tree below. And yes, of course, that includes Build a Girlfriend. You must pre-order it, request it at your library, add it on Goodreads, do all of that and more. And I'm so excited, and you all should be too. And Elva, I want to thank you again for taking the time to join me for episode 56. I had the best time chatting with you.
Also had the best time, and I think that we're best friends now, so
I know.
do with
Well,
that what
no,
you
I
will.
mean,
Best friends,
cousins,
cousin,
cousins, yeah.
yeah, like, so just know you're never gonna stop hearing from me now, so sorry.
Amazing. Likewise.